How often have you heard this Bible verse? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. This verse from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, is quite often used and prayed when it comes to seek revival, to seek new life coming into a church, into a community, into a country. I find it interesting that hardly anyone includes the following verse, but I think it is just as important. Verse 15, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers offered in this place." You know, the wisdom of the young. Brennan said, God keeps his promises. And he does. And that was the promise in answer to the prayer that God spoke about. If you do this, then I will do that. And then he sealed the deal by saying, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. It's clear to me that when we seek God, turning away from sinful ways and truly seek him, not only will he keep his promise to forgive our sins and heal our country, but he, as he said, will keep on listening, watching, and caring for those who turn to him. I believe there's no better time to seek God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness for our country than right now. We need to take the opportunity to gather as a community this Thursday, May 5th, our National Day of Prayer. Now, true, as I mentioned before, every day should be a National Day of Prayer. But we need to take the opportunity when it comes to gather in his name and make an appeal to heaven on behalf of our country. Jesus said, when two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. An appeal to heaven is a term that you're going to be hearing more and more about, even seeing it on a flag such as this. Have you seen this before? You may have not seen it before. An appeal to heaven. This is older than our country. I'd like to give you a little background about that flag. It's significant because copies of that flag have flown over our nation at its birthing. It's not the Stars and Stripes, but it's a flag that was commissioned by our first president, George Washington, before the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Before the Revolutionary War actually began, General Washington formed and financed America's first Navy and commissioned them to sail with that flag flying overhead on each ship. During the American Revolution, an evergreen tree on a white standard could be seen flying in Massachusetts, and before too long, it flew throughout all 13 colonies. And the words of appeal to heaven became the declared statement over the nation as this flag flew throughout battlefields and military campsites. This flag led the Americans' revolution, grossly outnumbered and under-resourced troops, into battle repeatedly as they fought and they won the war for America's freedom. This flag's history is extensive and quite profound. At a recent meeting of our Coffee County Ministerial Association, John Butler, who is the associate pastor next door of First Baptist Church, he introduced this flag to all of us. I may have seen it before, but I had no idea of its significance. And he also told us of the connection with the upcoming National Day of Prayer, this Thursday, May 5th. I really felt the presence of the Holy Spirit in connection with this flag upon hearing its meaning. Though I was seeing the flag personally for the first time, I sensed its weighty significance. And I knew that I needed to share that with you and to tell you about it. The flag, which features a pine tree with the motto, "An Appeal to Heaven," was originally used by a squadron of six cruisers commissioned under General George Washington's authority as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army in October of 1775. It was also used by the state of Massachusetts Navy vessels and even used by privateers who were sailing from the state or the colony of Massachusetts. Where did the design of this flag come from? Well, it came from General Washington's secretary, Colonel Joseph Reed. In a letter dated October 20th, 1775, Colonel Reed suggested a flag with a white background and a tree in the middle, the motto, "An Appeal to Heaven," be used for the ships that Washington commanded. The Massachusetts General Court established the flag of their state navy on July 26th, 1776, with a resolution that stated in part that the colors be a white flag with a green pine tree and an inscription, "An Appeal to Heaven." The pine tree had long been a very significant symbol, which centered on the flag that New England flew by colonial merchant ships dating as far back as 1686. Leading up to the Revolutionary War, it became a symbol of colonial fury and resistance. Why? The white pine is found in New England, specifically the eastern white pine with heights of over 150 feet. It was used mostly for constructing the masts of the ships. 20 years after arrival in the New World, the Pilgrims harvested and exported these pines back home to England and as far as Madagascar. Due to the lack of supply of suitable lumber on the island of Great Britain, England reserved all 24-inch diameter trees and sent a surveyor of the King's Wood, who would in turn appoint deputies to survey and place a broad arrow symbol on the tree from three hatchet marks that they would put onto the tree itself, which meant it no longer belonged to the person whose property it was. It belonged to the king. Colonists were forced to leave these marked trees and then had to purchase a royal license to harvest their own trees, not marked with the broad arrow. We often think of the old term, taxation without representation, right? And of course, the Boston Tea Party. Well, it got to where the colonists were driven to ignore the decree from the king, which claimed their own trees and severely stole their profits. And they had a riot in 1772 called the Pine Tree Riot, where a New Hampshire mill owner, leading other mill owners and townsmen, assaulted the sheriff and his deputy sent to arrest him by giving him one lash and a tree switch for every tree which the mill owners were fined, cutting the ears, manes, and tails off of their horses, and forced them out of town through a jeering crowd. This was one of the first acts of forceful protest against Britain's policies. We often don't hear about this, but we hear about Lexington and Concord, and we hear about the Boston Tea Party. This was 3 years before open warfare began at the battles of Lexington and Concord. Pine tree significance to the colonists, and since this flag was to fly over colonial warships, the pine gave them a suitable and biting symbol flying on the top of every structure that the British had sought to harvest the white pines for. And the phrase, an appeal to heaven, was a call for revolution used by British philosopher John Locke in two of his writings, which contested the theory of the divine right of kings. I know there's a lot of history coming at you this morning, but you need to understand the purpose of this. And this symbol has been used again since before the beginning of our nation. His works, John Locke's works, were well known and often quoted by colonial leaders, most often quoted by Thomas Jefferson in the 16 years to an American independence. Thomas Jefferson was accused of borrowing from Locke in certain sections of the Declaration of Independence. Even Patrick Henry, you remember, he said, "Give me liberty or give me death." He used the phrase, an appeal to heaven, in that famous speech. And it was used again by the Second Continental Congress in the Declaration of Independence. The phrase symbolizes the need to seek divine intervention. Our young people today told us, when you need something, you can call on God. We as Christians recognize that prayer is a part of our daily lives, if not constantly in conversation with the Lord, recognizing Him as a source of peace, grace, and blessing. In today's Holy Gospel, Jesus confers a special blessing on His followers. He says, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you." He went on to talk about the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Jesus gives us his peace, which passes all understanding and reminds us that we belong to his family. And as believers, he has made his home in us, where we can speak to him and make our own appeal to heaven through faith in him. In closing, I want to remind you, he stands with us through our faith in him, knowing that the promises of a new heaven and a new earth that he showed us in today's reading that Jay gave us this morning from the book of Revelation are true, just as are his words from the prophet Joel, in which he said, "I am the Lord your God, and that there is no other. Never again will my people be shamed." Jesus implores us to bring our worries to God, who cares for his people. We're to bring our worries and our troubles for our family, our friends, our community, and our nation, making an appeal to heaven. Jesus said these words in Matthew 6, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Once again, I'd like to invite you to join me on Thursday morning, May 5th. There's a breakfast from 7 to 8. And if you can't make that, please come to the courthouse, the first floor jury room, at 12 noon, where we gather as a community to indeed seek God's love, blessing, and mercy on each one of us, on our community, on our church, and on our nation. The details of the events are in your bulletin. And now, to God be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.